redeemed of the Lord. Amen. So welcome first-time guests to Living Faith Church. Amen. Let's welcome them second time. All right. Amen. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Welcome the Facebook audience live. Amen. They're live right now. Welcome. Come on, make them feel at home. What a deal, man. You can watch church in your pajamas. Amen. And you dress up. Isn't that good? Yeah. We don't judge people. Amen. We're just thankful they're watching. Isn't that good? Yeah. Let them feel the love. Amen. It's so good to see you. Amen. We're so glad you're back and you're welcome home. Amen. Welcome home to all the good people of the Lord today in the house of God. Amen. Thank you, guys. If you have your message notes, you'll need them handy. If you don't, raise your hand high. We'll get an usher right to get to them to you. Anybody 100% message notes? You're going to need them. They're inside. Open them. Yes, everybody got them? You're waving them at me. Good, good, good. Here we go. Isn't it good today? Amen. On the big board today, Living Faith Closet, our Living Faith Closet, Linda Ziegler just does a tremendous job leading that. This is her second time that she's done it, and it doubled, it multiplied. That's the way ministry should be. And so about 128 families were served. Isn't that incredible? And I want to thank you. She wants to thank you. This was all done on Living Faith, bringing good, clean clothes. It served our community. Extra help came, the serve team, Edna Molina, Leno Hodge, Becky Sanchez, Leonard Ziegler, and Gabriel Martinez. Let's go ahead and thank the Lord for the servants of the Lord. Amen. Bless them. We're so blessed to have people like this, and thank God for them. Amen. I'm wanting to teach part four now of our Love Affair series, and I'm a word guy. I speak a lot. That's what I do for a living, and thank God. A couple of times I thought, man, this gift going to go away because challenges that we're in this season, I thought, man, what am I going to do? I got to do this, and this is my way of understanding and that sort of thing. But God saw me through. He healed me and blessed me. Amen. Thank God we keep going on, right, everybody? And so if you have a gift, I'm not the best, but a gift to speak, what I've noticed about any gift that you get from God, the enemy can come along and twist that and make it a curse, not a blessing. And so I've used my gift not only in blessing, but I've used it negatively, okay? And I had to repent whenever I study about communicating and how to communicate in marriage relationships, boy, I get convicted big time. And so I want to do better. I want to do so much better. Is that okay with everybody? How about you today? You know, I want to be like the Patriots and Tom Brady, amen? I'm in it to win it. Give me a good amen. You gotta give it up to them in that way. I mean, they didn't give up. It looked like it was all lost, amen? And so it looked like the Falcons, as much as I don't want to pick on them, you know, they were trying to save the win. They were, you know, they were playing, but they were playing, let's don't lose, let's don't lose. The Patriots, they just came in there. We're going to win. We may be losing, but we're going to win. And there's a difference. And that's why I think a winner proves himself today in your life, in your relationships. You want to win in life today. You want to go about it. Your cause to be victorious. Did you know that in all aspects of life? Your relationship should be the very, very, Christians ought to have the best in their relationships. Right, everybody? All right, so we're going to go on. The standards of this day, though, they've gone in the opposite direction. They've gotten vile with our language, with our communication. God has a precious love language. It's outlined in his beautiful pages of God's Word, his Bible. And he's given his testament to us, these two testaments, that when we read them, we can say, God, this is the way you speak. It's the way you speak to my heart. This is the way I can speak now to people in loving kindness and mercy and relationship with people. God's all about that. Don't you know that today? And so I want God's standard for my life. How about you today? And so if God calls me another way, I have to realize that my words are real powerful and your words are real powerful. And so from the fountain that we have, a blessing can also be a fountain of a curse. And so I want to speak blessing today over your life today. I want to teach you about God's word today. Social media post, even right now as we use the social media post to project something live to them, there can be these mean comments. How many of you have experienced being unfriended? Or just a thought about maybe somebody can totally annihilate a person on a comment and think nothing of it. That's a human being that you're dealing with. I think the whole thing is also warped because we're putting these comments that are meant to be about deep relationships that we're staring at each other eyeball to eyeball, but we're posting them out there. Comment. You want to talk about the political climate that we're having right now. You put something on Facebook, get ready, get ready. You're going to be probably judged very harshly, right? Not carefully. And so we don't want to dehumanize the heart of people today. We want to realize that there's a heart beating behind that thing. Facebook's a whole lot of fun. Instagram is great. Twitter's okay, but use it in that aspect. We build relationships. Amen? Thank God for a church today that does that today. There's something about being dehumanized, not being treated like a human being in traffic. How many of you recognize that? Yeah, I was on Bandera Road this week, and I was trying to inch along to try to get into the Bandera Road flow of traffic, but it was like rush hour, and nobody was giving me a break. Nobody was trying to, and so finally, nobody wants to give you eye contact either, right, when they're in that line, trying to look at them, and nobody wants to look at Nava Boy, amen, trying to get them. And so all of a sudden, this young girl with her mom, they're riding together. She notices me kind of waving, and then she says, oh, she looks at me like that, body language, and she hits her mom and says, Mom, have mercy, you know, towards him. And so when she sees me and I'm going like this, I'm looking at her like, the mother goes like this, you know, does that. And I hope you're watching right now, lady. I'm a human being, man. I'm a human. Treat me that way. But that princess of a girl, that girl that heard from God was her daughter. Give me. And that's the one that was God was all over in that car today. And, you know, I mean, I think we dehumanize people in that sense of just, that's a person. You know, they're waiting for a parking space. They're waiting to try to get in. They're trying to make their way today. I don't know what happened on the way to church, but maybe some of us have to repent by the way we behaved on the way to church, right? Ask for forgiveness from God. He's merciful, amen, and he'll give you that. Man, you know, if that's not okay in the flow of traffic, is it okay in your home? Is it okay in your marriage? It's not. God has a better way. I want to speak today about a love affair that you'd have in communication. Understanding communication is the best way to go about it because we change our thinking before we can change our heart. And there are men that have studied this, the human behavior, and they gave us these four levels of communication on the big screen in your handout today. And the first one is the surface communication that we have. Surface communication is like, hey, bro, what's up? You know, you look at people and you go, hey, what's up, bro? How you doing? Hey, man, how you doing? And it's just real surface. And how are you? You nod the head. I was at a car dealership trying to get a Rebecca's car serviced, and the guy next to me was packed in there waiting for the car to get fixed. And I think his ear is getting healed, but I don't hear as good as I hear on this ear, but he sat on this. So when I sit on this side, I can hear. And so he was saying something like, I think he told me good morning, but you ever those of you guys that can't hear very well, you don't know if they told you good morning. So you don't, and it's a man, it's another bro. And so he was next to me sitting on that easy boy chair. And I think he said good morning to him. So but I didn't want to be rude. I'm a Christian. Maybe he comes to this church. He said, there's a guy that shunned me. And so I just gave him one of these. I said, hey, bro, what's up? You know, I kept it real short because I wasn't sure if he thought, you know, and then he didn't want to get weird on him, okay? So I think digital communication is making us worse and worse on something that we have in the palm of our hand, and that's the way we communicate because I love to hear the voice. I love to hear the person tell me things of instructions, and we've gotten so digital with our phones and so forth that God wants to bring us back, amen. We may be going the other way forever, but amen, let's fight for word communication towards each other, right, everybody? The second thought is general information. That's just in your home, in your marriage. It happens all the time. Call, hey, Johnny Joe needs to do his homework. He has a test. Or Bobby, you know, I'm on the way home, OMW, amen, on the way home, whatever you might text. But guys, I'm going to give you just something, the four romantic words that you can ever express to your bride. I'm going to give them to you. And so if you write these down, you ought to put a little bit extra in the offering plate today, amen, as it goes by. Because if you see them, and there are these words right here. Will you show me that slide, amen? And if you tell them, she downloads the whole story and you can't hear anymore. If you keep going like this, it's real romantic to her. And then what happened? Guys, why don't you even practice with me right now on three. One, two, three. And then what happened? Some of you cowards didn't do it, but I'll pull you up here on stage. I will if you don't. They love those words because, man, wow, you want to hear more after 30 minutes? Yes, I do. Help me, Jesus, today. You say that under your breath today, amen. The third one as we continue are this, deep feelings, just the deep feelings, and those are where feelings aren't always right, but they're right because they're feeling them. Or you're feeling them. And so it's a safe place. We need to create places in our home that it's a safe place that someone can express their feeling. And so if you had it up to here, why are you crying or what's that going on, and you shouldn't feel that way. You know what the best thing to say at that moment is? Something like this. When you're feeling that way, because feelings sometimes lie to us, but you still feel them, is, well, when you do that, I feel this way. Or when that happens, I feel this way. There's no lie about that. But you see how you express that today, how much better and more intimate it is when you have by the way, next week I'm speaking about love affair conflict. As much as I don't want to have conflict and you don't want to have conflict, it's a given. You're going to have conflict. And God's outlined in His beautiful pages of His Bible on how to deal with conflict and how to do it right. Not like the world. We want to do it differently. Right, everybody? And so finally, it looks at the deep needs. In the greatest and best relationships, marriage, workplace, church, a parent with their son and daughter, it's when you find these deep needs and you know the deep needs and you hear about them, and a spouse and a husband work together because they know the deepest needs, and naked before God in the sense of that, and unashamed like Adam and Eve were. Do you understand that today? And transparency to the max, and thanks God for it. A few years ago, I did a gravesite funeral, and an older pastor met me. My friend said, "Would you say parting words and do the obituary at the gravesite for my mother?" My uncle's coming from up north. He has a great big church, and he's kind of the pastor emeritus now, and he's going to do the full thing, but I wanted you just to speak because you've helped me during this time. And I said, "Sure." So I got there a little bit early, the gravesite, waiting for the funeral procession to come. And as I'm there with a pastor that's his uncle, an older dignified man, just very stately looking, I began to tell him where I was from in San Antonio. We had a local church here. And I began to ask him questions like, "Where are you from?" He said he'd built a great church in the Cleveland area of Ohio. And I said, "Well, how many years?" He said, "Well, we were in ministry something like 30, 40 years, and built this building, then we outgrew it and kept building buildings, and we're reaching people. And now there's a younger man that's taken over, but I'm still on site. And I travel a lot, and I give seminars on communication, marriage, and that sort of thing." So I asked him, I said, "Well, are you your bride?" And I'm sure he's been married over 50 years. And he said, "My bride went to be with the Lord about 2 years ago." And he transitioned into something that was this God moment for me that taught me so much, and that God visited me with an angel like He always does and teaches me great things. And he said, I'd always tell my bride about my dreams, about how I wanted to build ministry and build buildings and reach people in our community and do these outreaches. And we did them in our church. And every accomplishment, we would go home and we would celebrate, and I would do greater dreams for God, and we would do that. And she's been gone 2 years now. And I miss her. I miss her so deeply, he was telling me. And boy, that's just, man, a God is speaking to me, and I'm there waiting to do this gravesite funeral, and the processional hasn't shown up yet. And I'm honestly wanting more to hear from him because it's life-giving to me. And he's saying, "You know what? She knew all about my dreams, but I never heard about her dreams in the over 50 years that we were married. I never took time to hear what she dreamed about, what she wanted to do with us as a couple. I never took time to listen to her." You can see this regret. And so when I left that place after doing the gravesite, of course, I'm driving home, and all I can think about is that man and that conversation. Now it just pierced my heart. And see, my bride's going to come home after 5 o'clock, and we're going to meet, we're going to come together, and we're going to talk over dinner. And she loves to have conversation just like any bride does. And I didn't know whether to admit that, what I'd heard from God, because I thought, well, now she's going to have some ammo on me. And I have to listen to her more. But I was transparent with her that dinner time, and I just said, "This is what happened to me. God spoke to me." we got better, amen? And I hear about her dreams, and I don't want to regret. How about you today, man of God or woman of God today, amen? 20 years of research, Dr. Markin and Dr. Stanley, they came up with the main causes of divorce. In marriage, they came up with it in the home place when children divorce their parents, when parents divorce their children. Workplace, when I finally give up. In church, when I quit the church and give up on the church. And friendships, when they're... And they said these are the ones that... These are the four interruptions in communication. One is... the first one is withdrawal. That's when you shut down. I have the last word. You stop communicating. We do the silent treatment. Nobody's going to speak to each other. It's funny when couples do this, and Irma and I, you know, you lay in the bed and you don't let the heel touch because they're going to lose. If something touches the body part, no, you lost, amen, because you... There's this couple, and they had the silent treatment going on, funny story, and he doesn't want to relent by speaking, she doesn't want to relent, so they're communicating by notes and texting, and nobody's talking to each other. It's getting ridiculous. And so he finally puts a note on her toothbrush because he has to wake up at like 6 in the morning, whatever, to catch a flight early, but he doesn't want to communicate with her, so he puts a note on her toothbrush and says, wake me up at 5 a.m., I have to catch a flight. And so she doesn't want to relent, so in the morning, sure enough, man, he wakes up at 9 a.m., misses his flight. But there's a note there right by his cell phone that says, you're supposed to wake up now, it's 5 a.m. Yeah. So... Yeah, tempers are flaring there. Escalation is the next one, and that's when you go to the next level and you get your way by anger, and the heart doesn't change. You screamed your way into victory, and again, you don't win. You think you've won. They say that a man's heart, when it escalates above 100 beats per minute, loses the ability of having a rational thought. I've been there. Remember us? Remember about me and the dog? Yeah, that was 100 beats per minute, babe. Amen. Yeah, she remembers, amen. I don't want to go into detail, not enough time, amen. Belittling is the next one. You should have been at the first service, amen. Belittling, I was braver then, amen. I'll sing that song about being brave for God, amen. Put on your brave heart, amen. Three, belittling, you use your voice, your mouth, you lower the other person, you become critical. Social media, again, is out of control on this. And so God's people should be different, right? Shouldn't be like, you know, the world, amen. We're not better, but we should be different. There's another funny story about these couple, and they're belittling each other. They're saying these hateful things, and they're driving down a country road, and they come up, they see a farm, a prairie farm, and they see it, and then the guy's, you know, still trying to be mean. He sees a pig, the pig's there, and he goes, are those relatives of yours? And she comes back and says, yeah, my in-laws. Yeah. Guys, you're not going to win. Amen. Just give up. Amen. Repent and say you're sorry. Amen. Finally, the one, I'm trying to bring a little bit of a humor to this thing. You can tell because it's a tough thing. False belief. Is that is really demonic at its core. Because in James chapter 8, it speaks that the devil is the father of all lies. He speaks not Chinese, but Lionese. He puts lies in our thoughts, and it's false belief because we begin to believe assumptions. We read into stuff too much, and we believe these lies, and they're not. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy your relationships, and this is totally, again, on the devil's side. And when he ends today, love affair communication. The Bible speaks about it. It's not silent. And so let's look at this verse with me. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 6, right before this, the context of this verse is this. There's this teaching that Jesus gives about the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. When I was a younger Christian, I thought I had committed the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And I had to learn that, man, I was feeling guilty, man, maybe, because that's the unpardonable sin. Y'all remember that one? You're not going to get forgiven by God if that's the case. In the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, sometimes I would worry about that. And if there's worry here in the audience today, I want to set you free. You wouldn't even be here today if you had the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, if you've done that sin. You would probably even be watching right now if you'd committed that sin, because your conscience is so seared that you have nothing to do with God. You're so cold to the things of God, you're in disbelief of everything, that you won't even believe it if it even appeared right in front of you today. In that same context of Matthew chapter 12, Jesus rolls right into this thing about the sin of the mouth. and words. So when I marry the two together, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, unpardonable sin, together with the words, that's a big problem, isn't it? In other words, it's a big sin about your mouth today and about the inability to about saying things and words out of our mouth that we got to be able, we harness with God's Holy Spirit upon us today. Right, everybody? And so, man, and all this and all that, is there hope for me, Pastor? Yeah, there is with Jesus. There is at the cross. There is when you go to Jesus and say, help me, Lord. I repent of that. Change me, Lord. I want to be a better man. I want to be a better person today. Right, everybody? And so, thank God, let's go to the blood of Jesus. Right, everybody? And so, James chapter 12 on the big screen or right there where you're at today. It said, let me, again, I love this verse because I can hear Steve Harvey saying it with a Steve Harvey voice. Let me tell you something. Anyway, I read the Bible a little bit different. Every one of these careless words. Y'all know who Steve Harvey is? He's very funny. Amen. You need to watch him. I think he's a man of God. Amen. Steve Harvey, kudos to you. Amen. Today, amen. Let me tell you something. Every one of these careless words is going to come back to you and haunt you. Boy, haven't they. All of us in this room. Yeah, we've cursed words come back to us. They bounce back and they hit us square in the head today. There will be a time of reckoning. That means a day of judgment. There will be a day when all of our careless words we'll give an account to. We'll give judgment will happen. Every word that we said, well, is there hope for me? Because I sure said a lot of words that aren't right. There is if you go to the cross, if you repent, amen, and you ask Christ to forgive you of your sins. Right, everybody? Words are powerful. Take them seriously. But look at this, the blessing or the curse. Words can be your salvation, and words, look at this, can also be your damnation today. I'd rather weigh on the salvation words. How about you today? We're a product of our words, every one of us. I'm a product of the words that were spoken over my life. I'm the product of words of blessing over my life, and so are you today, right? A product of your words today, just like I'm a product of my words today. I'm either blessed or cursed by the words I receive. I ante up on this thing really quick and look at this thing with me. I can look at so many curses that were put on me, negative words and things that were backward about me and all the things, but a person that's redeemed of God, just like you are today, and you're listening to me today in this room, they'll look at, well, that happened to me. That curse did. That negative experience happened to me by that person. But that's so small compared into the blessings of God. All the things that God has given me, all the hope that God's provided for me, it outweighs anything that... That's a redeemed heart. Do you recognize that today? Because we're redeemed today. And so my mom and dad weren't perfect, just like your mother and father were, but they were people of encouragement. And so I weigh on the fact, as much as they treated that one better than... Or they in the sibling thing? No. Mom and dad were a gift of encouragement for my life today. My dad, before he went to heaven, would come to this church and he would write me these love notes. More like this, son, you hit it out of the park today. You preach so well. Every Sunday, I preach better than the following, you know, the earlier Sunday. Amen. The Sunday previous before that. Because dad was an encourager. Mom called me Rey, which means my king. How's my king today? Amen. Just lifted me up and blessed me. Miss Porter, third grade. I told you about her. I showed you her mug, her picture in the classroom picture, and you thought I was lying about Miss Porter. Miss Porter was the first lady that I believe was used of God to prophesy in third grade over my life and look at me. She kept me after school. I thought something happened with Miss Porter, me and Miss Porter, man. You know, but she kept five of us, amen. Yeah, she got married during the summer. Miss Porter, amen. What'd you do? So her name became something else. But five of us stayed after the 20 or something that was in the class. And she looked at each of us and spoke into our lives. And I remember her words to me were, Mario, you're going to help a lot of people one day. You're a champion, Mario. And I just like, third grade, man. And I was like, whoa. I floated home, amen. I walked all the way home from Park Village Elementary that high above the ground. Because of what a precious lady told me in third grade. I never forgot her words. Never. Remember Dr. Jack Hatcher at Christ for the Nations. He's now with the Lord. Spoke into my life. And he told me, you're loaded. He used to call me Nava. You're loaded, Nava. You have the goods. You're going to change the world. You're going to do something for God with everything that you've learned at Christ for the Nations. Never forgot his words. See, words can bless us, build us. And you say, well, that hasn't been as fair as yours. You know how you can make it fair, beloved, in this room? You can make it fair by speaking words of life. Just because we may have been Frankensteined at times and been told this or that, you don't have to be making another Frankenstein. Things can change now. You can speak words of life. You can speak words of blessing. Amen. You can be a Miss Porter. You can be a Dr. Jack Hatcher today. Right, everybody? In the third verse in the Bible of the very first book, Genesis, God said this, "Let there be light." See, there was all this darkness and confusion on the face of the earth in verse 2. And all of a sudden, God spoke, "Let there be light." And the creative force of God with his mouth and words spoken something that wasn't, that was. He made a world happen. Your mouth is the same. You can either speak a curse today, negativity. You can speak all around you. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? Imagine it, and it can come out of your mouth. Or you can speak a blessing today. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Yeah, right? You can mean it today. And so the George Bernard Shaw, he's a great playwright. He wrote this thought, and I put it in your message notes today. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it's already taken place. Boy, did I have to learn fast on that one, right, everybody? Somebody is just as guilty as I am today. God has a love language. And it's not rules, and it's not regulations, it's not ruts. It's relationship. So God is a God of relationship, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And you want to have relationship with people because they represent the God. And so you want to be about that today. I've learned that it's not really, I learned again, teach people, it's not really, don't do this, don't do that, you shouldn't have done that. People learn better if you say, this is what we should be doing. This is how we should be about it. And so there's no better person than God Almighty, our Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father, that says, this is the way I treat my people. This is the way I speak to them. And I want you, my child, to speak to people the same way that I speak to them in that same love language. Right, everybody? So the thing here is to be intentional. Because we really got to be intentional. We got to, especially us men in this room, you got to be intentional about the words that you speak of blessing. I think, well, they got it. They know. No, Jesus said, I'll build my church. God's a builder. Amen. Bob the builder before him. God the builder. Amen. God wants to build you, not blast you. So let's look at this first thought today. Are you with me? Number one, be a person that speaks praise and that speaks thanksgiving. In other words, be grateful. No one's going to be Almighty God. There's a difference between the way we praise God, the way we give thanks to God. But we can be a grateful person within our circle of love. You create a world with your words today. Wife, amen. Tell him, he's your king. There's my king. He's my baby. Tell your husband that. You know why? Because if you tell him enough, he'll say, there's my queen. You're my queen, babe. Amen. But you got to change the vocabulary. Parents, speak to your children, amen, their language, and speak to them. It's okay to text, but tell them, amen, face to face, eyeball to eyeball, how much you love them, how much your world is revolves around them, amen, today. Today, be grateful to the waiter that serves you or the drive-through person and say, there's no better drive-through than I've ever went through than the way you've served me today, amen? Amen. Be intentional about it. Say thank you at least 10 times today, amen? And watch your world change. You'll change your world when you become grateful today. Give me a good amen. Amen. Proverbs is full of things that talk about our tongue. And look at this. Interesting, in the second sentence on how powerful our words are, the most important, significant relationship we'll ever have on this earth, husbands and wives today. It says in Proverbs 18:21, why don't you read it? You haven't had any fun all day. Come on, Living Faith. On three, one, two, three, go. The tongue has the power of life and death. He who finds a wife finds a good. Yeah. You need to pause and tell your wife today, hey, can I tell you how much you mean to me? Or can I tell you how much you just mean to me today? she's going to faint, okay? She's never heard that. But when she gets up, amen, finish the sentence, right, everybody? Praise, amen. You find qualities about your child today. You find qualities about Junior. You find qualities about her. You find qualities about him. And you say, I want to highlight those things. I just want to exemplify right now what you mean in your circle of love today. Amen. There's this one guy in the church, and I don't fish for it, but he just takes time. He emails me at least every Sunday, and I want to thank him for that. Amen. He's here today. I'm not going to embarrass him, but because he means it with all. He said, that sermon you preached was the best sermon I've ever heard in my life, or something like that. I go, and this guy, I know he's heard sermons, and I could say, man, you're just, you know, no. He's giving me a little bit of praise, and he's high, and it means something to me. You can do the same out of your mouth, right, everybody? Nobody's fishing for compliments. Give me a good amen. I was this backwards kid in third grade, and a teacher changed my life by her simple words and her kindness today. She said beautiful and valuable words. At the end right here, the sentence of Proverbs 25:11. Look at that beautiful setting and that beautiful verse. A word aptly spoken. A word, just one word. You're beautiful. You're handsome. Amen. There's nobody like you. Those are a word aptly. It's like a setting. It's, ladies, it's like that place thing that you would have in the middle of the table. That thing that you would decor your home with. And you would, it's a bunch of apples. Not only apples, but they're gold. That's how beautiful it is when you speak words of blessing, not curse over people. Amen. Today. We have that ability today, amen? Valuable words are that way today. Some of you at Living Faith, our family in this room, you've been kind of fishing. Should I get involved in that ministry or that ministry? Should I do this, plug into that? What should I do? And you say, well, they're doing it, so I can't do that, and that's what I want to do. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you for the first time what you should be about today if you're not plugged in anywhere. Don't get uncomfortable on me. I'm going to draft you. Amen. You're saying, Coach, this is you. You have the attitude of yes. Coach, I want to get in the game. Send me in. You should be involved with our ministries of children, nursery, a youth ministry. You know why? Because they need to hear the words. You know how many hear that they're losers from their peers? You know how many students hear negative things all day long? And when they walk into the house of God, we need to fill them. Just like Miss Porter told me when I was in third grade. Man, that you sit in that room with them or you sit in that place of children's ministry or our young people, youth ministry, and you say, man, you're a winner. You're not a loser. You look at them and you change the altar. I want you to see Leno today. I want you to see Gabe and Christina. They're our youth ministers, youth pastors. I want you to see me. We'll give you a great background check because we're going to keep it a safe place. Give me a good amen. Yeah, but we're going to fill you and you can go in there and you can just be. Now, I don't want you to set up chairs as much as I want you to speak into their lives today. That God makes a difference in their lives and God's raising champions in this room. Right, everybody? Prophesy to those children in the name of Jesus. Right, everybody? And God sees that happening. The second thought is this, affection and encouragement. It's the way to go. That's the way God speaks to us. We should be no different. Openly express your affection towards your circle of love. Kiss those that are in your circle of love. Give me a good amen. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Somebody kissed me and they called me father. Give me a good amen. I said, no, I'm pastor. Amen. They thought I was father. Amen. I had to wear that tab. Give me a good amen. Yeah, that was another time. Give me a good amen. Not today. Give me a good. Well, I can't tell anybody that I love them because they'll hurt me. No, you're hurting your heart. Your heart's hurt. It's going to get better. I tell some of the men at Living Faith, love you, man. You know, we bro it up, right, at Living Faith. Love you, bro. And when I tell them that, you know what's cool about that? Most of the time from everybody I hear, I love you too. I love you, man. I love you back, you know. And we're all macho here and still keeping our manhood. There's been a couple of people at this church, and I'm glad you're here this morning. There's this one guy years ago, and I've used this story, and he I used to tell him, love you, bro, and he would always, like, say, thank you. So, you know, after the 10th time, I told him, love you, man, he wouldn't tell, he'd go, he wouldn't, you know, he'd go, yeah. And then, you know, we had a relationship enough after 10 times, I told him, say, brother, why is it that every time, man, I tell you I love you, you don't tell me I love you back? What's up with that? I told him. And he said, this is what happened. He said, well, Pastor, he was hurt. Somebody he told that he loved didn't prove themselves or let him down. And I'm so glad he's in the house of the Lord, because we're going to keep telling people that we love them. We're going to prove it. It's more than a word. We're going to show up by relentlessly pursuing people like God pursues them. We're going to keep loving people. Right, everybody? Amen. So our relationships, especially in this house, I love you, bro. We're going to say thank you to each other. We're going to say I love you back if you can't. Amen. Just wink at the brother at least. Come on, give him something. Amen. Throw him a bone. Amen. Look at Jeremiah. This is the way you should be. Amen. Jeremiah 31:3. Get over it. Amen. Because God loves you. Amen. He's gotten over you. Amen. All the stuff you've done to him. I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. I'm going to love you. That's the way God loves. He lavishes you, right? With an unfailing love, I've drawn you to myself. Right, everybody? I have waited all week long for you to be here because I've studied this verse. On Valentine's Day, my bride came up here on Valentine's Day, and she prepared all the goodies. I had some cupcakes, and some of the ladies of faith brought those, and we decorated the place, and there was pictures that were being taken. We had a photo booth, and that was awesome on Valentine's Sunday. But I remember Irma got up here, and she said this. She said, we love you. We love you. We love being a see. Not too many people think about you more than Irma and I during the week. Now I know your parents might, young people, if you're here, husbands and wife. I know you think about each other, but you know I think about you. We think about you so many times. What if that's happening right now in their life because of their prayer concern? What if this happens? Lord, they're going through this right now. And so not too many people, I'm probably in the top five, we really love you. I love you, Living Faith Church. And I say that with all sincerity, with all heart towards you. And that's the place that God has for you, affection, that you would hear it in the house of God, that we begin to speak that, because a word unspoken is a word that's never going to amount. We need to speak that to each other about our love towards each other. Don't get discouraged. Encourage each other. Amen. That's why we encourage people in the Lord today. Amen. We don't go by feeling. We go by our hearts together. Amen. People get discouraged. Amen. God's a builder. He loves you and he will build you today. Amen. In your circle of love, it should be safe enough that someone can express to you the way that they feel, and your mouth won't hurt them. You'll meet them with kindness of words. There's no vile stuff coming out of our mouth today. Well, I got my way because I got real loud. No, you didn't. Because the righteousness of God is never achieved by the anger of a man or a woman today. You got your way for a moment, but nothing changed. They're still talking about you behind your back. They're still thinking of things that are evil about you because you got your way with your mouth, but it didn't change the situation. You want to change that situation? You speak in love. You tell you're kind to people, amen? Now, I'm very convicted about this sermon. Do you understand that today personally, yours truly? Because I've done this in my home, and I've had to repent. And I've had done it. I wish I would stop, amen, but guilty is charged. And I go to the blood just like you do. I go to the cross, and I say, forgive me, God. I messed up again, amen, and God will forgive me. Give me a good amen. I'm getting better, though, amen. Give me a good amen. How about you? You notice when I told you that I loved you today, how that didn't hurt anybody's feelings? You get it? You can't hurt anybody's feelings by telling them you love them, amen, and expressing that today. Number three, finally, here we go. Truth in love. Imagine your auto mechanic, check this out, and your brakes were going out, and they didn't tell you that your brakes were going out. Imagine your doctor, and you got all these battery of tests, and he didn't tell you had a blockage. He didn't tell you that. And he went, I just want to make them feel good. I want to make them feel good about their car. I want to make them feel good about them so they can keep smiling at me and paying my copay. Yeah, I just want to make them feel good. Imagine a church, if you were never told the truth, and because we wanted to make you feel good. You walked out of here, I feel good, but you were never told the truth. You wouldn't, that's not a good church, is it? And that's why, well, I have a problem. I got to tell them the truth. I got to tell them they're wrong about this. It's messed up about this. Yeah? You tell them the truth, but you say it in. Yeah, you got it? There's a big difference on how you say the truth, but you say it in love. And you can be a mature man in this room. You can be a young man in this room. You can be a mature woman in this room, and you can never, you need to learn to say the truth, but you need to say it in love. Well, that's just the way I am. That's how I'm going to be an enforcer. I'm going to do it. No, you're not Christ-like. It's not like Jesus. And you're called to be like Christ. Boy, it's quiet in this Baptist church. Again, I get convicted, right? I'm with you. I'm amening myself today because I need it today. I don't need to be the enforcer. I just need to say the truth in love, and then I need to back up and let the Holy Spirit work on that person and let him right there bring the conviction. That's why Ephesians 4:15 on the big screen is so important. Let's read the Word of God together on three. One, two, three, go. We speak the truth in love. Yeah. I noticed something about that's so interesting. The Bible is just so rich that after all these years, God's still showing up and teach. I don't need another revelation. God is good enough. How about you? It's still teaching me things. After all these years, you know what Paul taught me here to the Ephesian church? The only way that I grow is if I speak the truth in love. I grow to the next level. And that's that heart that you have with somebody that you would say, you know I love you, don't you? Oh, here it comes. What is she going to tell me today? And they tell you that they love you. And they go, this and this. But then you grow because you stay together and nobody shouted. Nobody walked out of the room slamming things and slamming doors and cutting you off. You spoke to each other in love today. Let's have that sort of church. Hey, how about let's have that sort of marriage? Let's have that sort of home with our grandchildren and our babies. Paul was saying, man, I desperately need you in my life, but you desperately need me in your life too today so we can grow together, right? When I go to the cross and you go to the cross with me, there's not a whole lot of stuff that we can say because we see truth, Jesus, and then we see our sin that put him there. Me and you both guilty, bro. Me and you both guilty, honey. We're both sinners and we put him there. We put that man that's so perfect, he's nailed to the cross because of us. And so I don't have a right up and say, hey, you're wrong. We're wrong. Amen. And the only thing of love is that Jesus is there loving us today. The Bible says in John 14 that Jesus was full of grace, but he was full of truth too. And it balanced it. It was incredible, our Savior. I put this real quick, extra notes. Here it goes, truth without grace. Plain old bulldog mean, man. I spoke the truth. No, you were mean about it, the way you did it. Grace without truth is meaningless. Ah, Johnny Joe burned down the house. Well, we still love Johnny Joe. We don't have a house anymore. No, there's consequences. See, grace without truth is meaningless. But look at the third one. Let's say it together. One, two, three. Truth and grace. Yeah, boy, it's something. Heals me. It helps me today. Right, everybody? There's a way to speak to people, and it's found in the Bible. It's the way Christ-like would speak to people today. You can practice these, beloved, on the way out of here. When you hit the exit door, you can practice these Monday through Friday. You can practice these if you're hearing these on live feed today. You can begin to change your world by speaking. You can make your own world by the way the words that you speak today. Right, everybody? Finally, number four, you're still with me, right? We're finished here. Don't try to be still here. Prayer. Can we pray about it? Can we pray about this need? My pastor taught me that. There'd be all this ruckus going on in the church. It's a typical church. God loves the church. We We'd be like, Pastor, all this, Pastor, and that happened too, Pastor, and that happened. And we were on staff. He says, can we just pray? Can we just pray about this? See, you can't be mad at a person if you're going to pray with them. Lord, bless this witch. No, you can't. You don't say that, right? Let's just pray. How many times Irma and I, in our history of 26 years of marriage, how many times have Irma and I, don't check out yet, have we had that point where, we've had some doozies in our miscommunication, our intense fellowship, our fighting, and all that's left for us to do. There's nothing left. Everything is shambles all around us. There's war zone, man. It's like, all that's left is, we just need to pray. And it's tough to start. It's tough to say, she's wrong, Lord. You know, no, Lord, we're both wrong. Help our marriage. Help us, God, how we need you. And you know what begins to happen? As much as we're so much in disagreement and walls are built up, because of prayer, the walls come down. God does something supernatural because we got God involved. The same thing will happen at your workplace. Students here on your campus, can we pray? In our church, can we pray? Amen. Can we see God? That's why Psalm 16:8, again, let's read it, the final verse, out loud, not out soft. Come on, amen. We finished early. You're going to beat the Baptist to the buffet. Amen. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. You did great, Living Faith. When I got God involved, my tongue rejoiced. When I got to the presence of God in my marriage, in my home, with my children, my world changed. God got involved, and God's not a respecter. He'll do that in your life today. As we're quiet and still, we go to the presence of God right now. Our live feed, would you pray also with me? Father, I thank you that you're going to heal hearts, Lord. I'm sensing right now people have been hurt by words from a boss, from a parent, Lord, long ago, even from their spouse. It might have been recent, Lord. I pray that we would make room for you now. That hurt, Lord, needs to be replaced with your presence. And so heal hearts at this very moment, Lord, today. Touch people. I thank you, Father, that you're a person that forgives, Lord, and you're healing our heart, Lord. We even express that towards the people that hurt us with their words. We forgive them. We make the choice of life, not death today. All of us in this room, all of us including yours truly, we've said the wrong words. We've said something that was wrong. We need to ask God to forgive us right now. The blood of Jesus. Go to the cross. Lord, forgive me. Take responsibility right now, man of God, for your mouth. Take it. Because of that, now, Lord, I ask you, God, I've sinned so greatly with my mouth. Forgive me, Lord. I'm not going to live like the world. I'm not going to live like the world. I'm going to live different. I'm not better, Lord, but you redeem my tongue. You redeem my mouth, Lord, today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're in this room as I continue to pray. And you say, is it possible, Pastor, that I can do this on my own with my tongue, change it, my ways, my lifestyle, the way I treat people with my mouth? You can't do it on your own. I'm just going to be very blunt with you. Bad news. But you can do it with God. God can change your mouth. God can change your heart. You can begin to say things. That's why it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And believe in your heart that He's Lord. And your life will be changed. You're far away from God today. You've never said yes to Christ. You need to today. You've never asked Christ, come into my life, Lord, today. Change me today. I won't embarrass you at Living Faith Church. What I do is I ask that your hands lifted slightly so I can include you in a prayer. You'll pray right where you're at. I'll pray right where I'm at. We'll pray together. You'll pray right where you're at. If that's you, you're far away from God. You've never said yes to Jesus as your Savior. Would you lift your hand high and say that to me? I want prayer before I leave. Is anybody in the house? God, you're a man of God, someone else, just making sure. No one looking around right now. Yes, God bless you. Another hand went up, I think, right? Two. Yes, somebody else making sure, just looking. This is your opportunity. Say, well, just you're far away from God at this very moment, you need to be close. If that's you, just one final appeal. On live stream right now, you can receive Christ also. You can receive Jesus. You can confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Lord today. For the two hands that were lifted, here's what you're going to do. You're going to say it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. And the sinners that are saved by grace in this house, you're going to pray it loud enough. We're going to pray it loud enough with you right now. Let's pray this prayer right now. Everyone in the house. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for what I said with my tongue, God. Out of my mouth, I've said wrong things. I've done wrong things. And I go to the cross of Jesus. And you forgive me, Lord. I can't forgive myself, but you can forgive me. And through Christ, I'm forgiven now. And I forgive myself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Come live in the people of God's heart right now. Dwell, Lord. God loves you so much that he could have lived anywhere. He's that rich. He's the cattle. He owns it all. He could have created his own planet to live on. But God loves you. He lives in your heart. He's chosen to live in your heart today because he loves you. That's how close he wants to be with you. For the two people that raised their hand, come on, bless them and encourage them. Thank you, Lord. New life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want you to be intentional. One more prayer. Receive this. Just extend your hands like it's a gift. Everyone right now. Father, I pray that the people of now with their praise and with their thanksgiving towards people on this that are made in your image, God, the waitress, God, the one that serves, the cashier, God, they're made in your image. That's a child of God today. And so I'll thank them, Lord, today. I'll praise my wife today. I'll praise my children today, Lord. With affection, Lord, out of my mouth, Lord. With encouragement, Lord, out of my mouth, Lord. I'll speak that into being right now. And today, God, when I want to speak truth, I'll make sure that I'm real heavy on the love. How about you? Yeah, I'll say it more in love, Lord, today. I'll learn that your word is true and it brings life today. And thank you, God. I'll be a person of prayer. I commit to that as the people of God that I'll pray quick with people before there's conflict or during conflict or after the conflict. I'll pray, pray, pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I want one more prayer to go forth, Lord. Sulema Gomez, one of our dear people, her sister went to be with the Lord. It's like a niece of hers, a cousin, but she considered her a sister. Her name was Lena, and she's in the embrace of Jesus now. And Sulema's heart, of course, is hurting because she's going to miss her. And it won't be long when we're all gathered together. Even if you're in your 20s here, we're living in our last days, all of us in this room today. And so, Father, I pray for Sulema. I pray that she would know that the touch of God as she walks through a valley is with her. Let her be upheld right now by the people of God, just knowing that she's supported and blessed today. We'll love on our sister this week and include her in our prayers. We'll remember her. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have a prayer need in your life,